Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone in the franchise world. My name is Paul Segretto, and this is Franchise Today. Yes, we're in the middle of September, and the franchise world is in full swing with a slew of upcoming events. Next week is the IFA Public Affairs Conference in Washington, D.C., and we'll be discussing that in detail today, as if the topic of our show is I'll be joined by four-headed, star-studded cast of IFA political action experts. I'm excited by today's show, as it won't only focus on the public affairs conference, we'll also be discussing various state and federal issues affecting franchising and small business. As well, we'll talk about various ways all within the franchise community, franchisors, franchisees, and suppliers alike, can get politically involved through the IFA. But before we get to that and introduce today's guests, let's take a look at these upcoming franchise events. This week, actually starting yesterday and running through this Saturday, Terry Powell and his team at the Entrepreneur Source have produced an online event, Start a Business Weekend. So if you know anyone that's been talking and talking and talking about starting a business, this is the perfect event for them to take that next step. Check out the website at www.startabusinessweekend.com. And then on September 25th and 26th, in the city of Brotherly Love, Philadelphia, is the first ever Springboard, a special event for emerging franchisors. This event is the brainchild of Lane Fisher, a very, very, very frequent guest on Franchise Today. It's produced and sponsored by Fisher Zucker, Fishman PR, Elements Local, and Entrepreneur Media. Then in Atlanta, on October 9th to 11th, is a perennial favorite, the Franchise Leadership and Development Conference, by our friends at the Franchise Update Media Group. And I was very excited to discuss last week on Franchise Today about the Leadership and Development Conference, and I'd like to take the opportunity to thank last week's guests, Shelley Sun, Tom Wood, and Greg Voinovich. It was an outstanding show, chock full of information, not only about the conference, but about franchise sales and development best practices. So if you have yet to sign up for the event, I would definitely go online through the Franchise Update Group website and sign up for it. And as I'm running through this, you know, I've mentioned Fishman PR, I've mentioned Franchise Update Media Group, so I'll take a moment to thank the teams at both great organizations for their work with Franchise Today as strategic partners of the show. I can't say thank you enough. And moving ahead, there's the West Coast Franchise Expo in Anaheim, California at the end of October, the Franchise Brokers Association Conference and Expo in Orlando, and the Restaurant Finance and Development Conference in Las Vegas, the last two both in November. And not to forget various IFA Franchise Development Conferences in Denver and New York and other events as well. Wow, franchising is definitely busy as we head towards the end of a successful year. And speaking about events, you know, who else attended last week's CEO Growth Circle seminar put on by our friends at FranConnect? It really was an outstanding seminar. And as the program moves forward, I look forward to more information that we could take back to our franchise brands and put into action right away. Plus, I can't wait to hear more from Keith Gerson about the CEO Growth Circle event that he mentioned will be live in Florida in December, and I understand he'll be making an announcement about the event in the very near future. Come on, Keith, the suspense is killing us. We're very excited. Well, with all these great events full of information sharing and networking opportunities, really would not be possible without the ongoing efforts by the IFA addressing issues at the state and federal levels. I'm excited to have four experts as my guests today to shed some light on these efforts. Matt Haller is Vice President of Public Affairs and Chief of Staff to the President and CEO for the International Franchise Association. He develops the strategic direction for IFA communications to ensure information about franchising, including policy initiatives, the economic impact of franchising, emerging trends, and best management practices, is disseminated to IFA members and external audiences, such as key policymakers, reporters, and other opinion leaders in the most compelling and effective manner. Dean Heil is Senior Director, State Government Relations, Public Policy, and Tax Counsel for the International Franchise Association. Dean, a former guest on the, a previous guest on the show, as we wrapped up our fourth annual franchise legal series this past May, is with the IFA from the Direct Selling Association, where he's Director of Government Relations in addition to serving as an attorney for that association for almost 9 years. Jay Perrin, Vice President of Government Affairs and Public Policy, served as the IFA's day-to-day lobbyist on Capitol Hill, meeting with members of Congress and their staff on behalf of the IFA. He also directs political strategy for FRANPAC, the organization's political action committee, and I'm proud to be a Max donor, as well as my partner, Christian Faulkner. We're both Max donors of FRANPAC. Eric Farage is a director of political affairs and grassroots advocacy for the International Franchise Association. Eric is responsible for elevating FRANPAC, IFA's political action committee, which supports pro-business, pro-franchising candidates at the federal level, as well as the association's grassroots advocacy program, Franchise Congress, which, if you don't know, creates relationships and serves as a bridge between IFA's membership and members of Congress on issues of importance to the franchise small business community. Wow, what a great lineup. Matt, Dean, Jay, Erica, welcome to Franchise Today.
Thank you, Paul.
You know,
great to be here.
Yeah, it's really great to have you here, and I'm really excited, you know, going into this public affairs conference, where unlike some of the previous years, where we were still dealing, and of course we are still dealing with economic issues and financing issues, credit issues, etc. But really, this year I feel franchising is really buzzing, and we're on an upswing, and I really think in this year's public affairs conference, at least the sentiment that I'm getting, it's going to be great to really focus on the hard issues that need to be addressed, and we'll be talking about that. But before we dive in, you know, really on behalf of all in franchising, I'd like to extend sincerest gratitude for all that you, each of you, and the IFA does on behalf of franchising. I just think it's absolutely phenomenal. I'm proud to have an associate to be involved in an association such as the IFA that does so much for the industry and all the players, small and large alike. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
You're welcome, Matt, Paul, and thank you for all of your incredible support, not only of FRANPAC and all of our great conferences and meetings, but in leveraging everything that we do out into the franchising community through this show.
You know, and I appreciate that, and you're certainly welcome. And I think it just actually lends towards what I feel is the one of the cornerstones of franchising all the way through all the relationships. It's the interdependency. Franchisors to franchisees, franchisors to the IFA, individuals such as myself with the IFA. It really has to do with the interdependency of relationships, but I certainly appreciate your comments, definitely do. You know, we have the Public Affairs Conference coming up. It's an opportunity for industry professionals to meet directly with members of Commerce, share the top business control concerns, but obviously it goes beyond that. So, Matt, if you would, explain to the audience, because we have some people on that this might be the first time they're hearing about public affairs. Our reach now has gone even beyond the franchise community to the small business community at large. So if you would, share with us what is the Public Affairs Conference and, you know, who is speaking. Kind of give us an overview.
Sure. Happy to. IFA's Public Affairs Conference is really it's our top advocacy event of the year. And it's really a crystallization and a manifestation of everything that we do here in Washington and in the States, wrapped up in a day and a half, 2 days of activities here in Washington. And it culminates with a full day of lobbying directly from franchisees and franchisors coming to D.C., IFA staff working on scheduling appointments with their members of Congress and with their Senate offices to talk about the top concerns that our members are facing right now, the top policy issues our members are facing right now. And Jay will get into some of those issues specifically later, but we base all of this not in a vacuum, but on the member surveys that we do throughout the year. And so, like I said, it's our top advocacy event of the year. And so not only on the policy issues, but it's just a great way to educate Congress and even more importantly sometimes their staff about what franchising is and the partnership that you touched on already, the relationship that exists between franchisees and franchisors, just talking about their personal stories, how they got into franchising, the economic impact that franchising has. By attending the conference, these franchisee and franchisor and supplier advocates become members of that Franchise Congress community, which is what we which is our grassroots network. And the timing, we think, of this meeting is pretty significant, you know, given Washington is still, unfortunately, operating under a cloud of partisan gridlock and negative rancor. We still believe that our members, by coming here, can make a difference. And we expect somewhere between 300 and 400 attendees next week. And we hope that they'll enlighten and motivate members of Congress to get things done on some of the issues that are of most importance to us. Relates to the ACA, the Affordable Care Act, on tax issues, labor issues, and some of the veterans issues we're focused on. So with that, I wanted to turn it over to Erica to run through some of the kind of top speakers that we've got lined up, both in the political world, elected officials, and in, you know, some of the policy media circles that are equally important that we look to engage with during the Public Affairs Conference.
Great. Erica, welcome. I hope I pronounced your last name correctly. Did I?
You did. Thank you.
I did. Okay. Great. I appreciate it. Thank you. Yeah. So tell us a little bit about, you know, who's speaking at the event. And I'm sure I know we have a star-studded lineup, so please share.
We do. I'm happy to just run through the program. We start next Monday, September 16th at 2 o'clock p.m. here in D.C. at the JW Marriott. We start off the afternoon with our chairman, Steve Romanello, who is managing director of Work Capital and also chairman of Focus Brands. We'll hear some opening remarks from Steve. Then we'll hear from Steve Caldera, who is IFA's president and CEO. He'll give the State of the Association, kind of everything that we've been working on throughout the year. We are also lucky enough to hear some remarks from the acting administrator of U.S. Small Business Administration, Jean Hewlett. She'll be on hand to talk about what the SBA is doing to help franchise small businesses. After that, we will hear from our primary sponsor of the event, which is ADP, and they'll talk a little bit about the job report that they've been doing over the past few months or so that focused just on franchising. So we're really excited about that new report that's coming out each month. Monday afternoon, you'll also hear from our government relations experts on a panel that will be moderated by Matt Haller. Also includes Jay Perrin, who is on the show today and is our Vice President of Government Relations. We'll hear from Sean Falk, who is a multi-unit franchisee and has been very engaged in our advocacy efforts over the past year or so, as well as Beau Bryant, who is Senior Director at McDonald's Corporation, and Brendan Dunn, who is a policy advisor in Senator McConnell's office on the Senate side.
Wow.
During that program, we'll hear about sort of what are the issues that we're working on in D.C. and in the states, and then also how you know, members of IFA's Public Affairs Conference and their attendees can, you know, continue to be advocates throughout the year. Monday afternoon, we also have a keynote speaker, Jim Vandehei, who is the founder and executive editor of Politico. So that's great. He'll talk about sort of what's going on in Washington right now, the 24/7 news cycle, and give our attendees sort of an inside look into the D.C. media. We continue Monday afternoon with Colonel Jack Jacobs, retired U.S. Army. He is a Congressional Medal of Honor winner, actually, and he'll talk a little bit about our Veteran Initiative and how the franchise community needs to continue help and hire and recruit veterans for the industry. We conclude Monday's afternoon schedule hearing from the administration on an issue that is really of the utmost importance to our members, which is the Affordable Care Act. We've got Mark Ebrey, who's at Treasury, and Meredith Olufsen, who is over at the Small Business Administration. And they'll, you know, talk directly to our members about how they need to be planning for the Affordable Care Act, discuss implementation, compliance, and also the resources that are available to help our members sort of navigate the upcoming changes and what the impacts will be on their businesses. Monday night, we'll have the Leadership and Franchisee of the Year Awards Dinner. It's always a great event. Steve Romanello, our chairman, along with Sonda Kitchen, who is chair of the Franchisee Forum, will present about 50 awards to Franchisees of the Year. Very excited about that. That concludes Monday afternoon, and then we move into Tuesday, which is really, you know, our big day where all of our members storm the Hill. We start off Tuesday morning with presenting Senator Marco Rubio with his Legislator of the Year Award. Senator Rubio has been a great help on some veterans issues since coming to Congress and has also helped spearhead the recent immigration bill that passed the Senate earlier this year, which we really see as a good starting point and a good blueprint for where we need to be moving on the immigration issue. Up next on Tuesday morning, we will be hearing from former U.S. Senator Scott Brown from Massachusetts. He is currently with Nixon Peabody and is really, you know, a leading policy and thought leader on in terms of politics and definitely sort of an insider in terms of how Washington works. After that, we will have all of our attendees set up in their state delegations, and it's really time for planning at that point. Our members will get the chance to talk to each other about how they want to conduct their meetings up on Capitol Hill later that day. All of our attendees will be meeting with their representative on the House side and both of their senators, and we'll get a chance to talk about all of those important issues. So after that, buses depart up for Capitol Hill, and our members storm the Hill, you know, with the message of franchise equals jobs, and talk to a member of Congress about issues that are really impacting their business and what they're, you know, doing every day to create jobs in their districts, and really, you know, telling their personal stories as franchise small business owners and as leaders in the franchise community. Our last event of that day, after everyone's had their meetings on the Hill, we have a great event called the Taste of Franchising, where we have six or so franchisor members providing food, beverage, et cetera, and really highlighting their brands to members on the Hill and also their staff. We got a great crowd last year at this event, 500 or so folks that come and learn a little bit more about franchising and also have some good food and some good drink. So as you can tell, it's obviously an action-packed 2 days. We'll hear from a lot of great speakers. We've got really great members in town who are, you know, stand ready to really tell their story on the Hill.
Well, I mean, you're running through it, and I'm looking at the agenda, and I just look at this monumental task, the organization behind it, even, you know, the buses departing for Capitol Hill, you know, 300 or 400 people, box lunches,
yep,
the taste of franchising, the organization is just phenomenal, and also top shelf, I'm sure, as all IFA events are. You know, in the IFA information about the Public Affairs Conference, there's a quote there. President John F. Kennedy once said, "Political action is the highest responsibility of a citizen." And, of course, IFA members agree, and I think this just speaks loudly of our responsibilities as franchising. You know, Matt mentioned about, you know, franchising. And, again, as I said, our reach is growing beyond the walls of franchising. And this is a great event to educate our political leaders about franchising, but also as our reach now is growing more and more outside of franchising to the small business community at large. And we have found in the past, even, you know, Fortune 100 companies like American Express doesn't quite understand franchising. And America's 825,000 franchise establishments, and this is coming out of the public affairs literature, support nearly 18 million U.S. jobs and $2.1 trillion in economic output. That is just phenomenal. So these educational events that really can help not only our political leaders but other business leaders to really understand how much franchising really is a cornerstone, if not a very firm part of the foundation of small business and our economy. Jay, welcome to Franchise Today. I haven't had the opportunity of having you on the show yet, so I'm happy to have you here today.
Well, thank you for the invitation. I really appreciate it.
So what are some of the policy issues on a federal level, and I know Matt briefly touched on them, that we'll be lobbying about next week?
Well, I just want to touch on a little bit what you talked about as far as understanding franchising. I think that is, you know, sort of the main goal of what the conference is, right, is that sort of the tagline is franchising equals jobs. And franchising is really important to the economy. Actually, this morning we had a meet and greet with a congressman from Louisiana named John Fleming, who actually is a multi-unit Subway franchisee. He owns 33 Subway franchises, and he's got two in development. And he's also a master franchisee for UPS stores, for a UPS store in Louisiana and Texas, and he's got about 160 stores. And we were talking a little bit about this morning about how members of Congress just don't understand what franchising is, and it's important, like we are next week, to go up to the Hill and sort of explain what franchising is. So I think that's the number one piece. And then, of course, there's issues specifically that have to do with small business and being a franchisee that we're going to concentrate on when we're up there on the Hill. And those start with health care. Obviously, the Affordable Care Act really does affect a number of our members, a disproportionate number of our members. And the piece that we're going to concentrate on in particular for this conference is the 30-hour rule within the ACA. And that 30-hour rule says that if someone works more than 30 hours a week, they're considered full-time. And obviously, that's not been in the past how our businesses have been run, or pretty much any other business in the country. Usually 40 hours is the full time, is considered full time. And there's a couple of pieces of legislation that we're going to be pushing members to co-sponsor. And those in the Senate is called 40 Hours is Full Time Act by Susan Collins and from Maine and Joe Donnelly from Indiana. And then in the House, there's a Democratic bill by a Congressman from Illinois, Dan Lipinski, that's very similar to the Susan Collins bill and the Joe Donnelly bill. And then there's another piece of legislation called the Save American Workers Act by a Congressman from Indiana, Todd Young, that also is very similar to the Susan Collins and Joe Donnelly bill. So we're going to be really pushing that. I think that is sort of our beyond the franchising equals jobs tagline, that this particular piece of legislation would really do a great numbers in helping our businesses grow in the next few years and providing employees, who really this is going to affect mostly, the opportunity to work more than 30 hours a week, and that's really important. The next piece that we're probably going to talk a little bit about is tax reform, something that's going on in Washington right now. There's a lot of talk about how do we simplify and adjust the tax code to benefit businesses and to the individual as well. And that's something that IFA is concentrated on, that if we do tax reform, that it needs to be comprehensive and informed, not just corporate tax reform, which some members of Congress and some members of the administration have sort of put out there as something that could help the economy. We agree that corporate tax reform would help the economy, but not on the backs of franchisees that are business pass-through entities where they file their income through their individual income. So that's something we're going to talk a lot about. Tax reform, we hope, is going to be something that people are going to talk to you about at the end of the year when there's a debt ceiling. There's this debt ceiling debate about raising the debt ceiling. We think that that's a clear opportunity to sort of pass tax reform where we can raise additional revenues and also raise the debt ceiling at the same time, simplify the code. Next up is immigration reform. Obviously, that's already, as Erica mentioned earlier, that's already passed the Senate. We feel like that it's important for our industry because of the number of low-skill workers that are in our industry generally, for the ability to bring over individuals from overseas here legally to fill roles that are not being filled today by current citizens. This is something that's really going to help our industry grow. And then also as part of immigration, there's is the employment verification system that many of our members use today to ensure that the workers they have are here on legal status. We want to make that preemptive over state law. We also want to make it mandatory for all businesses, so it's sort of even playing field as far as who you're hiring to make sure that they're in legal status. And that's something, those are the 2 points that really we've concentrated on within immigration reform. And then, of course, you know, the business community as a whole sort of agrees that we need to do something with the people that are here illegally, maybe not a pathway to citizenship, but a pathway to residency and legalization is something that we're certainly concentrating on for sure.
Yep. Very important.
Another piece, too, is something that's come up recently in the last 6 or so months, 7 months, is sort of the labor issues, the workforce policy issues that have become more prevalent. I'm sure that some of you have seen that at the end of August, on August 29th, some of the labor unions organized a what they termed a walkout in many of our companies that IFA represents. Unfortunately, there really wasn't any walkouts, and we wish that the media had sort of covered that the fact that these walkouts weren't really walkouts of employees. It was really driven by SEIU and some of the other labor organizations, where they were essentially busing people not from from outside the community to protest in front of many of our company's stores, asking for higher wages. And that's something that, you know, I think is something we're going to have to concentrate more on here at IFA. We think that it's certainly being a big push by labor organizations. Mr. Trumka, who's the president of the AFL-CIO, came out with a week and a half ago an article talking about how they're opening up their membership to all, even non-members, people that are not currently in a union, to join the union. And we feel like this is something that we have to be prepared to work with our member companies. And obviously, when they talk about wage increases, you know, there's detriments to the employees and detriment to the employer too. You know, the more the higher the minimum wage is, the higher the next level of employee is going to have to earn, and that can cause a number of issues. You know, companies will have to look at whether or not they have to have less employees, or they have to look at, you know, how they change their business model in order to keep themselves profitable. And then lastly, something that, you know, is – go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, I mean, it's just there's a lot to talk about there. Absolutely. I agree. Go ahead.
Yeah, okay. And then the last thing we're going to talk about is sort of something that IFA has taken on since Steve has become the CEO of IFA, and that's really to push veterans issues, VetFran, to support all those returning folks, all those returning heroes from overseas that have done so much for us in the last 10 years. And help them to purchase their own business. And these particular issues have to do with two bills, one called the Help Veterans Own Franchises Act, which would give a tax break to those veterans that are willing to invest in a franchise. And then also the Franchise Education for Veterans Act, which would allow veterans to use the GI Bill as the money from the GI Bill for franchise training, which we both feel would be, you know, is a feel-good, a good piece of legislation that would help veterans who are turning, you know, deservedly so, get a break in order to buy their own business.
Absolutely, and I'm pleased to announce Mary Thompson from the Dwyer Group, the award winner, the Bonnie Levine Award winner this past year, will be my guest on November 7th, just ahead of Veterans Day, to talk about veterans in franchising. We're live on Franchise Today. We're talking about the public upcoming public affairs conference and some political issues. Joining me today is Matt Howard, Dean Heil, Jay Perrin, Erica Farage, all experts from the IFA. Jay, I want to talk just a little bit about this proposed $15 minimum wage and read over a, I guess it was a press release from Steve Caldera back on August 29th, and it said, mandating increased wages would lead to higher prices for consumers, lower foot traffic and sales for franchise owners, and ultimately lost jobs and opportunities for employees to become managers or franchise owners. He went on to say the franchise industry is a proven job creator and career builder, yet efforts to double the minimum wage to $15 would clearly jeopardize opportunities for existing and prospective employees. Further, he says many franchises have developed successful programs designed to help employees rise from entry level to management and ultimately ownership. Arbitrarily mandating a higher minimum wage will only reduce the amount of entry-level jobs that workers need to gain the skills to move up the employment ladder. I mean, so perfectly said, and I hope this really resonates well with our leaders up on the Hill.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's exactly what we're trying to convey, is that, you know, for an entry-level job, for a person that's his first time having a job, or a second job, a part-time position, you know, $15 an hour creates just an opportunity. Basically, you're not going to be able to hire those people ever again. That's just really what it comes down to, $15 an hour, because that means you have to. How much do you have to pay your shift manager? I mean, I'm sure there today shift managers at many of the, you know, the quick service restaurants are not making $15 an hour. That would, you know, jumps everybody else price up. It's just not, it's not feasible for our industry at this point.
Well, not feasible for the industry. You have the immigration side, where we have a lot of workers coming into, you know, fast food restaurants and other types of businesses. And the thing that I think is being ignored too much right now, but I think, and this is a personal opinion here, that could come back to bite us. I'm real concerned about our young workforce. There are so many, you know, teenagers and college students that in the past, you know, filled a lot of those fast food positions and lower income jobs, you know, even if on a part-time basis, summer hours, and through holiday seasons. I mean, that unemployment rate just continues to rise, and that definitely worries me, for one. Steve went on to say that the campaign is also designed to pressure employees into organizing, generating much-needed headlines and revenues for labor unions who have faced a sharp decline in private sector membership for years. So I just thought that was an excellent statement as well.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, in 1960, the private workforce was about 60% of the private workforce was unionized. Today, that number is just over 6%. So you can imagine that's the reason why Mr. Trumka is inviting everybody that's a non-member to join, because they need to increase their revenue stream for sure.
Yeah, and of course we think right away of, you know, franchising, we think of fast food, but obviously there are other industry segments I know that are getting bombarded by these type of organizations, by these type of unions, and I know, you know, janitorial commercial cleaning is getting hit hard by the efforts right now. So, yeah, I mean, it's attacking all fronts.
Yep. certainly hotels, home care services,
yep.
Cleaning services, they're all getting sort of bombarded by particularly the SEIU.
Right, right. Yeah. Very interesting times indeed. Dean, you've been sitting here on the sidelines listening. I definitely enjoy having you back on the show. Enjoyed listening just recently to your segment on Franchise Today as we wrapped up our legal symposium back in May. Welcome again to Franchise Today.
Thank you, Paul.
You know, Dean, a lot of different state issues. I was amazed to go back and look at all the different things that you talked about back in May. Some of them, I think, have, just been kind of delayed, just sitting there. Of course, going back in May, and here we are 3 months later, we talked about California AB 1141 and SB 610. There was Maine, Massachusetts, SB 73, Rhode Island, Delaware, Massachusetts, Washington, that had independent contractor legislation, other state legislation, such as the prohibition on non-compete agreements, and what appeared to be your favorite on the show back then was AB 122 out of Nevada, the fat tax. Kind of give us an update where we are on state issues, and I think the primary one we need to talk about right off the bat, although I would like to know where we stand on some of these other ones, is what happened in California. And in doing so, because we do have a lot more listeners to the show that aren't quite familiar with what's going on in franchising, kind of give it a little bit of a backdrop of what happened in California, what led up to it, and where we stand today.
Well, thanks, Paul. You know, obviously California was the piece of legislation, those two bills, which were very much alike, AB 1141 and Senate Bill 610, dealing with franchise relationship laws, very problematic for us. 1141 was taken care of relatively early in the legislative session. The bill's sponsor looked at it, heard from both sides, realized that there was, as he had stated several times, to the issue and realized that the bill needed to be amended. He did amend it. The proponents of that bill lost interest in it, and now it's a two-year bill, which means it's still up for a vote, possibly next session, highly unlikely. And then Senate Bill 610, which was much more of a fight for us, it had passed through the Senate. It had also gone through the Assembly Judiciary Committee. But when it came up to Business and Professions Committee, very similar to last year's Assembly Bill 2305, what happened is the sponsor the day before decided to pull the bill and make it a two-year bill, and it didn't even receive a vote. And this didn't happen. It was due to the fact that franchisees as well as franchisors weighed in against it and really stressed that the brand integrity of the franchise systems were at risk, and most importantly to the franchisees is the equity that they've invested into their businesses, and that's why that bill has effectively died.
And if I could add something to this, Dean, because you're right, it's the franchisees and the franchisors that chimed in on this, and I want to give a special shout-out to one in particular that I know, Scott Diener, the CEO and founder of Scooter's Jungle, five locations, who thought enough to get involved. And I think that is key for franchising moving forward. Obviously, we applaud the efforts of the McDonald's and the Taco Bells and the Kentucky Fried Chickens and a lot of the big brands. But really, there are so many, you know, hundreds if not thousands of small franchisors, and, of course, all the franchisees involved, too, to get involved. I think that's really key, and I apologize for interrupting you, but as you talked about franchisors and franchisees getting involved, I had to bring that up.
And then we also had, as you mentioned, several other bills, the Nevada fat tax. That bill died on the assembly side. And then we also had a couple other ones kind of moving from West Coast farther east is, you know, in Washington State, we had a very problematic bill for a lot of our franchisees. This was a House Bill 1440, which would have created a presumption of employment for all independent contractors, franchisees included, and it would have used a very problematic test for us called the ABC test, which doesn't work well for franchisees. And that bill also died on the House side. And then you had mentioned the Minnesota non-compete agreement bill, which would have basically prohibited all non-compete agreements. That bill was delayed. We also had in Illinois a bill that would have required franchisors to report all their franchisee sales, which would have been very burdensome and would not have raised any additional revenue. We also saw that bill, similar bill, in the governor's budget proposal in Massachusetts. We saw Senate Bill 73, a franchise relationship bill, not have a hearing in Massachusetts as well. And then also we have in Maine, another moving on to the franchise relationship bills, we have LD 1458, which has become basically similar to California, a two-year bill, which we're working on to defeat. And so when it does have its hearing potentially in January, that it won't go anywhere. And then we had, between our last conversation back in May, Pennsylvania, we have House Bill 1620, which is a very problematic franchise relationship bill, which was just introduced only a few months ago. And we're working tirelessly to see that that bill dies on the House side as well.
So,
a lot of legislation.
So what's the basis of these relationship bills? What are policymakers trying to accomplish with these relationship bills?
You know, the common theme that we see in these is that they're usually one-off situations with either one small franchisee or a group of small disaffected franchisees who have introduced a piece of legislation. They don't go very far. Sometimes they go a little bit farther than we'd like, obviously, Senate Bill 610.
Mm-hmm.
But once the legislators really look at them and they realize that contracts mean something, they then these bills die. We always win in the long game when we can educate the legislators and get franchisees and franchisors together to explain how that they work together and then how these bills basically unravel the franchise agreements that they've come to sign and which they agree are the rules of the road for franchisees to operate.
Right. And again, educating these policymakers about franchising certainly is going to go a long way. Erica, we talked about franchisors and franchisees getting involved, talking to their congressmen and what have you. How does one in franchising get involved in IFA advocacy?
Well, we have a program that's called Franchise Congress, and as you've said, Paul, you know, so much of this is really about education, really letting our elected officials know, both at, you know, the federal level, but also at the state and local levels, about what franchising is and how the franchising business model really works and how franchisees and franchisors really do work together to make the businesses work. And so what our Franchise Congress program does is allows for, you know, our IFA members to really be sort of the voice and the face of franchising on the ground and, you know, advocate for issues that are important to their businesses by really maintaining and developing relationships with their elected officials. And we really see this as critical to the future of the franchise model and the success of our industry. It's, you know, it's super easy to get involved. All you need to do is sign up. And by signing up, you know, you start to really enhance the capabilities of IFA as an association and as the franchise industry in general. We're still, you know, facing a lot of battles, particularly in the states that are franchise specific. And with franchisees and franchisors working together, meeting with their elected officials, testifying on different bills, you know, being willing to put their name on an op-ed or speak to the media about these issues, you know, it really helps to tell the story of what franchising is all about. It's super easy to get involved, and, you know, I think our members have really liked the program since its inception about 5 years ago. And, you know, obviously it's a huge focus during the Public Affairs Conference next week, but, you know, what's most important is really keeping that drumbeat of advocacy up throughout the year when folks are back home in their states and in their districts and making sure that our stories, you know, are really still being told throughout the year. And
I got to tell you, Erica, I love that statement, the drumbeat of advocacy. That's classic. That's classic. Go on.
Thank you. Well, you know, and we try to make it as easy as possible. You know, IFA is happy to help, you know, set up in-district meetings or, you know, set up a phone call with your legislator, or, you know, see, you know, if you want to talk to the media, we can get you, you know, in front of the media on issues. We try to make it really as easy as possible for our members to tell their stories.
Yeah, and the key here, too, and you touch on, I mean, this is not just something that occurs, you know, August into September. I mean, this is an all-year effort, and everybody within franchising should look at it as such as well. And I wanted to remind all the listeners out there, and if you would, please share this with others that are not listening, you know, go to the IFA website at franchise.org. There's a wealth of information. I would really implore you to look at the franchise policy platform. It clearly defines everything out there. You know, obviously subscribe to everything that you possibly can. There's a wealth of information that comes out of the IFA. I think the communications at the IFA the last couple of years has been over the top, stellar. Kudos to everybody up there that's contributing to this and spearheading it. And I know, Matt, you've had a lot to do with it within the social media realm, the communications, the press releases that come out. I mean, it's just tremendous to just keep the pedal to the metal and, of course, the continue to drumbeat for advocacy. But I also think a lot of this lends to even more reason to be IFA members. There's still too many, in my opinion, in franchising that are not IFA members. And I'll take off my membership committee hat for a second and tell you, as a 30-year now industry professional, get involved with the IFA. Sign up. Great incentives for the even to contribute it and participate in the upcoming IFA convention in February. So that's my plug for IFA membership, and it's not because we have IFA members or IFA staff on the show here today. I mean, it's something that I'm passionate about. Everybody should be involved. Dean, I had a question come through. Somebody asked a specific question, and maybe you can shed some light on this. The Coverall Massachusetts situation, has that clarify for them? Has it died, or where could it possibly go? Are other states looking to raise those same issues?
Well, you know, Paul, obviously the independent contractor status of franchisees is very important, and as I mentioned, in Washington State, those areas that use an ABC test, it does cause problems for franchising because there's the aspects of control and the like, and we could have a whole program on the ABC test, but I won't get into that. The situation in Massachusetts still remains fluid. There is some court action still going on. IFA is pushing very hard to have a clarification in the state's law. Massachusetts is one of those that does have an ABC test, and we're seeking an exemption of franchisees from that. So We hope to pivot off of the wins that we've had in Georgia, which was last year's bill, which clarified that franchisees are not employees, and then also in Delaware, House Bill 55, which passed unanimously, and I should also state that it passed unanimously in Georgia. And we plan to reach out to all the legislatures. There's about 27 states that have some type of ABC test, and we look forward to educating them and then hopefully gaining exemptions in all of those states eventually, just to clarify this kind of it's an oversight in legislative drafting. We were never meant to be included. And when I say we, franchisees, as potential employees, they certainly don't operate as employees. They file their own EINs, their employer identification numbers, and they certainly hire and fire individuals. So therefore, this is why we need to have this clarification in those states.
Well, thank you. I that was a great answer, and I hope that answered your question. I appreciate listeners sending us in their questions and comments. Thanks for clearing that up, Dean, or clarifying it. Matt, a lot of great things obviously going on in franchising, a lot of issues on the table. One that we have not spoken about that I know is on our platform, the IFA platform, has to do with small business lending. How does this, where does small business lending fall in this public affairs conference?
Well, Erica mentioned the SBA acting administrator will be here. You know, Karen Mills' tenure there has ended, and she was a great advocate for the IFA. And,
absolutely.
I'm sure your listeners know we've had a long partnership with the SBA. We do, I believe, around 12% of loan volume and 10% of loan dollars or somewhere thereabouts within the total SBA loan programs. And so certainly credit access is always the top issue for, you know, franchisors and franchisees. If capital is freely flowing, then the industry can grow. And I think it's reflected, the ongoing challenges with credit are still reflected in the overall growth numbers that we see for the industry. We're still, you know, only about halfway back to where we were pre-recession, when we were growing about 4-4.5%. And we're growing, you know, a little over 1.5% towards 2% in 2013, and we think we'll continue to see much of the same heading into 2014, barring any, you know, drastic public policy changes, which we don't see on the horizon. So it's still a top concern. We still have lots of programs within the association and, you know, working with franchise business networks and some other groups talking about credit access as a huge priority for the industry. You know, we've done small business lending summits the last couple of years, which created a really great dialogue between the lending community mm-hmm. and franchise community. And I think, mm-hmm. you know, while from an association standpoint, you may not see as much, I think what's happened is a lot of our supplier members have really taken that on themselves. One would be Fran Data, which has done some events around the country and has continued to do some events around the country in partnership with us. And the other is BoFly, which has brought some lenders together with franchisors to talk about the importance of credit access. And, you know, really it's just about creating relationships. And, you know, that's what business is a lot about, that's what franchising is a lot about, and that's what lending ultimately is a lot about, you know, trusting your lending partner, making sure that lenders trust franchisors in the lending process, and ultimately that they're assessing risk, and we want to demonstrate, our members want to demonstrate that their brand is a good investment and inherently less risky than, you know, perhaps another investment for their franchisees as they bring them into their system. So it's still a big concern, Paul. But from a public policy standpoint, there's not some, you know, silver bullet out there that, you know, we could magically go lobby for that would improve the lending environment. And, you know, that's just a function of Washington. And that's why we're working so hard on some of these other issues right now, particularly, you know, things like the Affordable Care Act and tax reform, which we think if we could take care of the lending spigot might turn on a little bit stronger.
Yeah, I think it's just part of the continuing education process. Had personal experience with a community bank here in Texas, and it seems like community banks are popping up like they did back in the 80s. Who we had a franchise candidate, one of our brands that was actually buying a existing franchise business that was that really had some good unit economics, and they wouldn't even talk to them. They said, we don't do anything with franchising, and it was clear, it was a big part of it, they just didn't understand it. And so now, after educating them on it, they're revisiting it. But, boy, initially it was just nope. So we've got a long way to go. You know, back in August, IFA press release on the Franchise Business Index hitting a post-recession high. Steve Caldera said, franchise businesses continue to create jobs and demonstrate that the franchise business model remains the best and most proven vehicle to quickly grow and scale a business. He went on to say, while the record high underscores the inherent strength of the franchise industry, concerns remain, particularly the rate of growth and new jobs. And it's jobs that is on the front page on the cover of the IFA Public Affairs Conference brochure, Franchising Jobs. That's what it's all about. That is the entire driving force here, and that's ultimately what we need to get back to post-recession levels. As we wrap up, we got about 3 minutes left. Matt, is there any last comments about the conference, about anything that you would like to share with our listeners?
I'll just say that there's still, you can still register. You can still come to Washington on Monday. You know, it's you can register on site. We're at the JW Marriott, and all the information is at franchise.org. If you're interested in doing that, or if you have franchisees here in the Washington D.C. area that you want to send, we would more than welcome them.
Well, that would be great. Well, as I said, we're close, closing in on top of the hour. I'd like to thank each of you for your time today and participating in the show. Matt, thank you. Jay, Erica, Dean, thank you. It's always a pleasure to have IFA staff on the show, and I really do appreciate the IFA and all the individuals at the IFA for the continued support of the Franchise Today Show. Thank you.
Thanks, Paul.
Joining me next week is none other than former IFA chairwoman, current CEO of the Dwyer Group, and all-time franchise favorite, Dina Dwyer Owens, as we'll also look at the Public Affairs Conference and, of course, issues. This time from the franchisor's perspective. It should be a very interesting show. Until then, my name is Paul Segretto, wishing you the best, the very best, in this great, great thing we call franchising. Hope to see you in Washington in a couple of days. Until then, Franchise Today is out.